Hey guys, I don't know about how you're feeling, but at the moment everything seems so uncertain and we're really struggling with what's going on, a lot of us, myself included. There's so much uncertainty. And in the midst of this uncertainty, we have a choice of either growing bitter or hopefully growing better. And we just want to look, today's message is all about Naomi and how Naomi grew bitter about her situation and how she needed to maybe do things a bit differently. So we're going to talk about Naomi's mistakes. If you're finding it really hard at the moment, you're getting a little bit bitter, or you don't want to get bitter, then today's message is the message for you. I wonder if you've ever defined yourself by your failures or mistakes. You know when you mess up or you do something and you think, oh, come on, Jim, I'm always like this. You always make mistakes. You always fail. You always do this. Or if someone once tells you that you're a failure, or once says that you can't do something, or had a go at you many years ago, and you still think of yourself the same way as that person said, the things the person said about you many years ago. You know, over the many years, I've met so many people in my job as a pastor, and I've met so many people who are just held back by the past, who've been really, really affected by the past, who've redefined themselves by what they've gone through. And I've met people who have gone through really, really, really tough circumstances and really hard stuff, and they've gone through more than I could ever imagine. But it's so easy for so many people to define themselves by what's happened in the past. You know, as many of you guys know, I'm very dyslexic, and I suffered with dyslexia for my life. And it's at times when I was younger, I used to always think that I'm just this dyslexic boy who can't read. I'm a dyslexic boy who can't write. I'm a dyslexic boy who can't do all this stuff. And I remember there came a moment when I had a teacher in my school, and he said to me these words. He said, Jim, you can do anything that you put your mind to. You can achieve anything that you put your mind to. It's a bit crazy, really, because I wasn't going to be a footballer, as I shared before last week, I think. My footballing abilities were non-existent. I wasn't going to achieve anything. But what he meant was I could achieve more than I possibly thought I could achieve. And I mustn't let my dyslexia define myself. So I started to look at it completely differently, the way I was dyslexic. And I started to use it for my advantage. I thought, you know what, Jim? Just because you're dyslexic doesn't mean that's going to define you. Doesn't mean that's going to impact you for the rest of your life. You shouldn't introduce yourself as, hi, Jim, I'm the dyslexic person. You can work your way through these issues. You can work your way through it. Don't define yourself by the past. And as I've been a pastor for the last few years, you may have ended up with this whisper that I've given you. When I meet people who have been through hard circumstances, and sometimes I'm quite brutal, and I say to them this, you are more than what you've just gone through. You are more than just that person who beat an illness. You're an individual. You're a person there. You are more than someone who's had to refugee. You are an individual person who God cares about. You're more than what people call you. And last week, we introduced the character of Ruth and Naomi. And now Naomi, she moved from Israel to Moab, sort of moved across countries with her daughter. With her sons even, and her husband. And what happened was, when they moved to the new country, soon afterwards, her husband died. Then her sons got married, and they both died. And Naomi was left in a foreign country with two daughter-in-laws. Kind of everything that could go bad was going bad for Naomi. And just to explain, going back a little bit more, the reason she left Israel in the first place to go to Moab was because of a famine. So everything was going bad. You know when you kind of think things aren't going to get any worse, but they go and get worse? This is what was happening to Naomi. And we get to the stage in Naomi chapter 1 where she comes back to Israel with her daughter-in-law Ruth. And people are excited to see her, and they're going, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? Is this her? And as she arrived, she said these words. I'll pop them on the screen. She said this. She said, don't call me Naomi, she responded. Instead, she called, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer? and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me. And I'm going to unpack this verse in a minute, but I'm really just struck by this. Naomi was defined by a situation. Naomi was defined by a situation. She let her circumstances become who she was. She changed her name from Naomi to Mara. Imagine you going around and calling yourself bitter. I know there's some people who are quite bitter, isn't it? Well, the name would suit them at times. But imagine everything you've gone through and you let it define you. Imagine if you were suffering from an illness. For example, you had heart problems and you said to everyone, change my name to heart problems. It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? And that's kind of what Naomi's doing here. She's saying, just call me bitter because life has been bitter to me. And she starts to get defined by her circumstances. She gets defined by her situation. You know what? And sometimes we do the same thing. As I shared a minute ago, we can define ourselves by what's happened to us, by what people have done to us, about the bad experiences that we go through. How many times you thought to yourself, I'm just so stupid because you couldn't do well at school? Or you thought to yourself, oh, I'm just a depressed person. I'm never going to get anywhere in life. And sometimes we can define ourselves by our situations. But God says this. God says you can't define yourself by your mistakes. You can't define yourself by what you've been through. And I just, this phrase sort of came to my mind when I was preparing for the sermon. It's this. Don't let your present circumstances define who you are. God is still working. God is still working. And sometimes when everything goes wrong, God is still working. Actually, when everything goes wrong, God is still working. And sometimes we can think, oh, I just can't do it. And we start being defined by what we're going through in that moment. And God says, don't be defined by your circumstances. Don't be defined by your circumstances. God knows what you're going through. And the place where we are is not going to be where we're going to be forever. You know, I find it quite depressing at the moment, if I'm honest with you. I shared with Naomi. She's a teacher and she works in school, and she's finding it very challenging as well. I'm sure in care homes you're finding it challenging. Everywhere it's just so challenging. If you're working in shops, factories, wherever you are. And it's so easy just to go, oh, this is going to be it now. Because we can't just be defined by what we're going through now. Because this is just a temporary time. And I just want to look at these few verses in the book of Ruth. And I just want to look at four mistakes. I don't even know they're mistakes. Four things that Naomi did that weren't helping her. That was getting her to a place where she was getting really, really depressed and really sad. The first thing is this. Naomi's first mistake was this. Naomi focused on her regrets. You know, Naomi thought she'd messed up. I don't know if you've ever felt like you've messed up before, questioned things. I question everything. My wife always moans about me. She goes, Jim, why do you just question everything? And whenever I'm about to do something, I will question it 55 times, probably 55 times, 55 times. I'm always questioning things. And I'm always like, have I done the right thing? Have I done the wrong thing? Oh, and then if it goes wrong, I keep thinking to myself, oh, I should have done it differently. I should have done it differently. Is anyone else like that? Is it just me? Yes, it might just be me. Okay, a few of you, Brenda's got her hand up there. I'm liking it. And Naomi, she probably thought this. Was beginning of the story, beginning of the book of Ruth, is her and her husband, they left Israel to go to Moab. And now some people would have said to them, well, the reason why everything went really wrong for you is because you moved to another country. You moved away from the place God put you. And I can imagine Naomi would be thinking to herself, well, I've left Moab for another country. Those days, they kept themselves to themselves, and they didn't sort of cross over nationalities. So what happened was she'd be thinking, well, I left for another country, so maybe God wasn't happy with that. Then she goes, my sons married women who weren't Jews. Maybe God wasn't happy about that. And she went on and she kept going on, different reasons. And she goes, you know what? Because of everything that happened, God's punishing me. So that's why I'm going to call myself bitter, because God's punishing me. If you look at the book of Ruth, though, God wasn't punishing her. God wasn't punishing Naomi at all. And she was focusing on everything that she had done wrong. If only I'd done it differently. If only I'd done it differently. And the more she thought in this book of Ruth, yeah, the more Naomi thought about how she should have done stuff differently, the more bitter and depressed she became. So her first mistake was this. She just kept on saying, looking back and wishing she'd done stuff differently. She had so many regrets. Guys, I just want to encourage you. Don't look back all the time thinking, if only, if only, if only. Because if onlys will kill you. If onlys, not physically, but they'll really affect you. If onlys really play in your mind. And they don't help. And that's what Naomi was doing. If only I had done this. If only I had done that. And that meant that she was focusing on her current situation she was in. And I just want to repeat that again. Don't let your present circumstance or past define who you are. God is still working. The next thing Naomi did was this. Naomi looked back with rose-tinted spectacles. Now, I hope you understand this. Okay, this is like a real a British expression here. So she was looking back at the good old days, how great everything was, how brilliant everything was. And she was saying, oh, you know what? It was really good. She says, I left. That's what it says here in verse 21. I put it on the screen for you. She says, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. And she tried to remember the good old days of being so much better than they really were. She can't remember the good old days of being great. She goes, when I left Israel, everything was brilliant. And now I've come back and everything's bad. This is just verse 1. I should say Ruth 1 verse 1, not Ruth 1 verse 21. It says, this is the beginning of the book of Ruth. It says this. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem left his home and went to live in Moab, taking with him his wife and his two sons. You notice that? When she left Israel, because there was a great famine. She had absolutely nothing when she left Israel. And she kept thinking, yeah. She kept thinking, you know what, I've lost absolutely everything. And she goes, if only I'd stayed in Israel, it'd been okay. Because Israel, everything was great. But it wasn't. There's a great Bible verse in Ecclesiastes that says, old men, don't keep talking about the good old days, because the good old days are not as good as you remembered. Guys, I know sometimes we can remember stuff being amazing when we were younger, or amazing in the past. And we remember the days when everything was absolutely brilliant. And guys, the truth is, things probably weren't quite as good as you remembered them. And by Naomi kept focusing on the fact the good old days, it wasn't helping her. It was actually making her bitter. She was saying, if only I could have gone back. If only I could have gone back. If only I could have gone back. I love when people talk to me about the good old days. You know, in Great Britain, they say, I wish it was the 1950s again. Those were the good old days. And I was like, well, when the NHS wasn't really able to do as much as it can do now, when medicine wasn't as good, when the houses weren't as good, those good old days when you had outside toilets still, a lot of houses, were those the good old days? And they're like, oh, no, I'm not talking about that bit. And sometimes we can remember the good old days the way we want to remember them. So that when people come, I remember sitting with them with one group of friends. I think they're from a particular country. And they kept talking about how great their country was. And one of them eventually turned around and went, wasn't that good? And the other said, what do you mean? They said, well, you all decided to move to England. If it was that good, you would have stayed. And sometimes we can remember those good old days of being amazing. But actually, they're not often as good as we can remember. Naomi's next mistake is this. This is a really important one. Naomi forgot who she was. Naomi forgot who she was. Now, Naomi, here we go. It's a lesson for you. In Jewish days, your names were really, really important. What you were called was sort of like your idea of what they wanted in your life. So Naomi was called Pleasant. So go with my wife up on the balcony there. And it's her, always know this because she's very pleasant. She's more than pleasant. She's amazing. But it's the name here of Pleasant, what Naomi means. And Mara, means bitter. I don't know about you, I know which name I'd want. I think I prefer the name Naomi to Mara, wouldn't you? I wouldn't want to be called bitter. And we know bitter people, as I shared earlier. You know, they're really horrible to be around. You know those people you're really trying to avoid at all circumstances? When you meet them, they're like, all the time. You're like, oh my goodness. There used to be one lady, she was a bit bitter, and she was always really, really aggressive every time she saw me at my last church. So whenever I saw her, I used to hide. And it got to the time when I saw her at the front of church one day, and I was in the back corner, and I needed to get out of the building. I quickly jumped on the floor, and I crawled on my belly all the way across the back of church so that I didn't have to see her, because she was really rude and aggressive to me. And we all know bitter people. We all know people who would have the name Mara quite happily, don't we? But Naomi wasn't like this. Naomi wasn't bitter in nature. She was actually really pleasant. You know, she looked after her daughter-in-law Ruth so well. She cared about her other daughter-in-law Orpah. If we read on the story of Ruth throughout the book of Ruth, we see how much Naomi cared for Ruth and what a great woman she was. But because she was hurt, because she was grieving, because she was sad, because she was depressed, all these things were going through her, she forgot who she was. She started to focus on her situation. She started to think that everything that had happened to her was actually her. And that's not true. Now, I think there may be some of you here, not an expert, or some of you listening online out later on. You may have gone through hell recently. And some of you may still be going through hell. Some of you may just feel like life has just been really horrible. I know some of your stories. I know it's true. Life's just been horrible. And it's easy to forget who you are. It's easy to focus on what you're going through and actually forget who you are. Remember my wife, years ago, she got a new car. And she had these big cars when we had young children. And finally, I got her a little car again. And she got her little car, and she went, "Jim," she says, "I feel like I'm me again." I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, when I had the big car, when I had to push all the prams around, everything else," she said, "I just felt like a mum and nothing else. Now I feel like Naomi again." And guys, you know, it's so easy for us. I've sat with people who've shared stories to me, and everything has been about just about their children. The whole life is devoted to their children. But when their children leave home, they forget who they are. And their identities become being a mum or a dad so much that they forget actually who they are. I've met people who've done jobs, and they've become so caught up in their jobs that they've actually forgotten who they are. Now when people meet, I was sitting out the other day, on the parent queue waiting to drop my daughter off at school, and I was talking to one of the dads, and he knows I'm a minister, and he said to me, "Jim," he said, "what do people actually call you?" I went, "They call me Jim." He went, "What's your official title?" I said, "Well," I said, "in theory it's pastor, but I don't really call myself pastor. I don't think many people, if you speak to you, I'll say I'm Pastor Jim. I just say it's Jim." And he goes, "Oh right, do you not have to use your title?" I said, "No." And can I tell you the reason why I don't use my title? Because I've been around so many pastors whose title is, they always refer to as pastor, that in the end they forget who they are, they forget they're actually a person, and they become their title and they forget who they are because of their job. And guys, it's so easy for us to allow our situations to dictate who we are. Your job, your children, your illness can define who you are. You forget who you are. Naomi forgot who she was. She thought she was someone bitter, but she wasn't. She was still the same pleasant person she'd always been. It just, she'd let her whole situation dictate who she became. I'm going to say this again and say, don't let your present circumstance or past define who you are. God is still working in your life. I'm coming into land so you can breathe soon. The last thing she did is this. Naomi focused on what God hadn't done. You know, Naomi allowed bitterness to define her because she focused on everything that she had lost, not what God was doing. You know what? Naomi had lost everyone who was close to her. She'd lost her sons and she'd lost her husband. She'd lost everything when she moved to Moab. But God hadn't left her alone. She'd forgotten the fact that God had given her Ruth, this daughter-in-law, who wouldn't leave her. This daughter-in-law who said, I will go anywhere you go. When Naomi told Ruth to go away, Ruth said no. Ruth said, I'm sticking with you no matter what. I'm sticking with you no matter what. And God was doing something in Naomi's life that was absolutely incredible. He'd given her someone to walk with her. Now, if you don't understand what society was like in Israel in those days, if you were a widow, you were left all by yourself. You weren't allowed to have land because the land was supposed to be kept in the men's hands. You weren't allowed your own jobs. It was an awful place to be. But God had given her someone to help her, given her Ruth. And I came across this quote, and I thought it's absolutely amazing. While I was preparing. And this is the quote. It's about adoption, but it works for this story. It says this. While adoption does not undo the past, adopting a child, and more specifically an older child, gives an adoptive family the privilege of writing parts of the child's story that had not yet been written. What Naomi didn't realize is that even though she thought God had taken everything away from her, I honestly believe that her husband and sons had died just as a thing of life. It's what happens in life. But in the midst of that hardship, God had given her a daughter-in-law to help write a better future, to help write a better story. And Naomi said, God has taken all this away from me. That's why I'm calling myself bitter. God hadn't taken that away from her. In fact, God had done the opposite. God had provided someone to write the next part of her story with her. And it's absolutely incredible that sometimes we think, like Naomi, that we haven't got a future. We think, what now? We can focus on all the bad stuff that's going on in our lives. We can get to the place of Naomi of saying, you know what? I am nothing. I am a failure. I can't do this anymore. But as you read through the story of Ruth, the next three chapters, I encourage you, go home and read it yourself. It's brilliant. We see how God has a plan. How Naomi and Ruth are put into Jesus' genealogy and family tree many years later, even though Ruth wasn't even a Jew. And you may be in the position of Naomi. You may be bitter. You may be hurt. But don't allow your present circumstance to define who you are. You are more than you think you are. When we read on this story, we see that God has an incredible future for Naomi and Ruth. And God has an incredible future for you guys. Can we just say this as we finish? Can we say this together? Don't let your present circumstance or past define who you are. God is still working.